Welcome back to the Aware Show. This is Lisa Gar. So, do these terms sound familiar to you? 50 is the new 30, or you're in the second half of life, or you're not growing older, you're just growing wiser. What I'm speaking about is living life fully in your senior years or over the age of 50, because, and I read this alarming statistic, it's actually awakening, I should say, a statistic. Over the next several decades, literally one half of the American population will be over 50. 50% of you out there listening will be over 50 years old. So if you are in this age category, or if you have an aging parent, or you want to know more about the road ahead, then listen up, because joining me are George and Sedena Capanelli, and they're the authors of a great book called Do Not Go Quietly, A Guide to Living Consciously and Aging Wisely for People Who Weren't Born Yesterday. Welcome, George and Sedena. Thank you for being with me.
Hello, Lisa. It's nice to be with you today.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you. It's Sedena, like Sedona.
Thank you, Sedena. Thank you so much. Well, it's great to have you, both of you, on. So what is the biggest complaint that you hear from people who come and speak with you about maybe complaining about living in that second half of life? I'll start with you, George.
Well, I don't know that it's a complaint, but I think that living in America today, America is a distinct culture, and we tend to be youth-obsessed and age-averse, which is one of our limitations and liabilities.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people consider those people who are aging, especially those who are 50 and over, although, you know, as you were saying, you know, 50 is kind of the new 30.
Right, yeah.
Nonetheless, people tend to be marginalized as they age, and especially in America, a lot of the wisdom of our elders is disregarded and not incorporated into society, and every society in history that has failed to listen to its elders has ended up imploding.
Do you think that we've lost a lot of tradition in our busy lives?
Oh, God, yes. I think we've lost touch with our elders, touch with the wisdom and all of the juicy knowledge, the seasoned knowledge that we've had for so many years and that we've revered, and many other cultures do. And one of the reasons that we wrote Do Not Go Quietly is because we want to reinvent what it means to age in our culture, what that word means. And that's not going to happen as long as we are judging the standard of aging the way we judge youth. It has to be a different standard, don't you think?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, it has to be different, that we're, you know, we have to be judged maybe on all the good things that we've done, that we've garnered to this time of life, to the experience that we share, to those that we mentor, the way that we live up to our values. But if, as long as it has to be about our smooth skin and how skinny we are, you know, it's not going to be a time that we're going to look forward to.
So what would be the focus instead of the plastic surgery smooth skin conversation,
right,
and how many different ways can you avoid the lines on your face? What would be the conversation instead? I'd love to see that commercial.
Well,
you would too.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think, Lisa, the conversation, as Sedena says, is much more about what are we here to do? You know, we have a belief, and we talk about it a lot in the book, that each of us comes in with a unique gift to give, a unique gift to develop during the course of our lives. And so part of the conversation is, are we developing it? Are we enhancing that gift, and are we giving it to the world around us? In indigenous societies, when babies were born, the wise elders of the community, their first task was to identify the gift that that child had for the community at large. By comparison, today, when a child is born, we immediately begin to turn them more into mimics of values that exist than original creations. So we believe that this is a time of life where people can remember their dream, the dream that they came here to live, and to begin to express it and contribute it more.
I was reading this article about the difference of decades that you live in, 40s and 50s and 60s, and how values shift from decade to decade. And it was a really great way of looking at a perspective of the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, whereas the values shifted from the 40s to being about the job, the home, the money, building the kingdom. Mm-hmm. The 50s tended to be more about health and a little bit more of reflection. And then the 60s went on to enjoying the view, the moments between the moments, the smile of a grandchild, the stillness in things. And it was a beautiful perspective of you don't think your values are going to shift that much. But what's your experience been with that conversation? It was just an article I was reading.
Well, I don't know about you, but my values are completely different than they were when I was 30 or 40.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm in my 60s, and I have a completely different set of values, and I'm really glad about it, actually. I used to be a lot more about physical things, you know, my work, relationships, things I was doing in the world, sex. I mean, you know, not that that has changed. That's really actually become a different, has a different take now because there's a lot more time to really feel into it and have a deeper relationship. But all that knowledge and wisdom that I've garnered to this time now and all the mistakes I've made and the missed opportunities and so forth have given me a really rich experience where I can experience life on a deeper spiritual, emotional, and psychological level. So I see it as just this wonderful, enlivening time of life that where I have more gifts to share than I ever had before. I was going way too fast over everything to ever take it in before. And now I've got it, you know, and I can share it.
Interesting. What advice would you, I'll guess you, George, would you give to someone who's in their 30s turning 40 at this point? Just a random question, but I'm going somewhere with this.
Well, one of my pieces of advice would be to learn how to stop listening as much to the noise and tumult and opinion and trends and fads of the world and start learning to listen a lot more to kind of that inner voice, that quiet where real wisdom resides. And a second piece of advice would be to connect more and learn more from history, understand the connectivity to the age, from the age we're living in, to other ages, and what are the lessons? What can we learn instead of assuming that we know it all and have it all?
Interesting. Now, in your 60s now, you there's a lot of people who are experiencing either health challenges or being divorced and living in an older age as looking towards being, you know, loneliness, or there's death of loved ones who are older than you, different things to handle in a different decades as you go through life. How are you handling those types of situations? Sidine, I'll ask you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think about the quote from Mary Oliver, Rest of the Question, where she asked, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? I ask myself that question about once a week. And I'm on my path. I'm living my purpose. And when I'm doing that, I'm alive. I'm well. When my perspective stays broad, it's like when you're hiking in a valley and you climb to the top of the mountain. Things look a lot different, don't they? And you're up there and you can breathe and you have this big expanse. Well, I have a larger, broader expanse now than I ever did. So I keep thinking positively. I look around me and see what's good about my life, and I dig in and see what is it that makes me come alive and makes my day joyous. What are the things that bring me joy, and what can I share? Because I believe everybody, even if you're in a wheelchair, there's something you have to give. We have a very dear friend who just passed away from MS that he was suffering from for many years. His gift to people was so enormous. And he didn't have even the ability to walk around. But he smiled, he took photographs, he saw the beauty and the light in everyone. And I believe we all can do that, but it's changing our perspective.
So what about the fact that you might have lost your pension or your savings or investments when you were looking at that as your retirement in order to relax and enjoy those silent moments? Has that affected you or anyone that you know?
Well, yeah. It has affected us.
Right.
And it has affected a huge number of people in America. You know, I mean, just the loss of value in real estate has significantly,
right.
Reduced the wealth.
Completely.
But the truth is, we have a couple of choices. We can focus on what has been and what was. We can bemoan the past, or we can decide to live in the present. It's not easy to deal with losses, whether they're personal in terms of individuals in our lives or financial or the loss of our some aspect of our health or well-being. But it is a reality that exists for some of us some of the time, and unfortunately for some of us a lot of the time. So we can either focus on that, or we can focus on what the options or possibilities are, even with the limitation, what can happen, what can we do, what can we explore, what new talents can we develop. You know, Michael Mead, who's a mythologist and storyteller, talks a lot about two topics, fate and destiny. And he suggests that when we are living our destiny, when we are living what we were born to do and to live, fate presents us with a whole series of obstacles. In fact, it seems as though one of the reasons for being a spiritual being in a physical body is that we are confronted with different challenges. Right. So we either learn to deal with those and master them and develop more wisdom and experience, or we let them master us. And those seem to be the two choices we have.
Change is a big issue, especially when you are used to doing things in a certain way for a certain period of time, yet things around us seem to change so fast. The internet, the phone usage, the cell phones, I mean, simple things. But with 57 things changing a day, it sometimes can get taxing, exhausting.
Exactly. I think they say something like a farmer back in the 1940s took in a certain amount of information, and we're taking it's tripled since then. So we're just completely bombarded constantly, and so that's why it requires even more of a focus on the inner and ability to go inside. And just like in nature, that's what happens in nature, and nature is our big. I think it's a solace for us. If we look around, we see how all the seasons have their changes. And if we can just hunker into that. And, you know, you had a guest on earlier. I was listening to the tail end of it all about there are no accidents. There's a reason why something is happening to us today that is creating whatever the situation is that we're in. As we grow old, the beauty stills inward, you know, Ralph Waldo Emerson said. Mm-hmm. So our spirit doesn't grow old. Maybe our body ages. But we have these amazing gifts that we didn't have when we were younger. And we just need to stand in that wisdom and see, well, what is this teaching me? And what can I give and get from this experience?
Lisa, I also want to say that, you know, it's remarkable. I look out at the world today through the eyes of a 70-year-old. Yet when people look at me and they interact with me, they don't perceive me to be that old, and I certainly don't.
You don't look that old.
We're talking about a number of kind of the diminishments, mm-hmm. but there's also an extraordinary number of new mm-hmm. opportunities, new dimensions, new experiences that didn't exist for me 5 or 10 years ago. One, I have an enormous amount more appreciation for life. I have a lot more sensitivity to the oddities and the changes that happen. But I also have an incredible amount of passion for what I still have to do in my life, and I find that there are a lot of people who are over 50, who are exactly the same, that they are inheriting whole new levels of energy and enthusiasm for life.
Well, absolutely. The information that's out there is incredible. And if you stay up with even the health news, it's changing all the time. New discoveries are being made all the time. So what do you suggest for someone who is maybe retired or newly retired? What kind of hobbies? What, like, specifically, where would you point a person? What direction?
Hobbies, hell. I mean, they're a whole new career.
Awesome.
Yeah. You know, we're saying to resurrect your dreams here, you know, to go back into the times when you were younger and think of those things that made you really feel great and creative and alive. And what are some of those things? Maybe you just start a little bit in volunteering or mentoring or whatever, but it can turn into a whole new career. You can be a consultant for the same gifts and skills that you had at a business when they let you go that are valuable now. Whatever turns you on is what I say is the thing to do. You know, there's been all this extensive research on thousands of people 50 plus, and they found what they call a developmental possibility for the second half of life, which they say begins at 50 and really ramps up at 80 and on. And this is a development, of course, not of the body and the decline and all of that, which I don't really buy into all the way, but it's the development of the mind and spirit. And for those who are willing to tap into this new stage of evolution, the decline of the body and all of those losses inherent in age are easier for us to bear. And the evidence shows that we have increased inner security. We didn't have that when we were younger. And a redefinition of time and space and life and death. And all of these things happen. And I call them beyond aging or enlivened aging. It's what we talk about in our book, and
Not
So Quietly. You can just ask yourself, what do you know now that you did not know when you were 20, 30, or even 40? Find a new purpose in life and connect deeply, meaningfully with your community now.
Plus, most people don't retire today. I mean,
right.
What do they retire from? Are they going
to
retire from life? You know,
plus
there are all of these remarkable opportunities. And you know, George Burns, in one of his great quotes, said, "You know, young, old, just words." And in many ways, that's just abundantly true.
Yes, true. Now, and I'm remembering that song, "The Cat's in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon." You know that song?
Mm-hmm.
About a son who was too busy for his dad, and when he coming home, boy, I don't know when. We'll get together soon, Dad. You know that now that's maybe a Father's Day reference, but my point with that song is, in that reference is, when you are bringing generations together, and maybe one is so busy with the work and the kids and the stress and that building phase of life, what could you offer as advice to communicate, connect more, whereas maybe an older parent in their 70s is wanting that connection with the very busy 40-year-old. What advice would you offer for that moment?
Well, one of the things that I would offer is to listen, all of us, to each other, you know, those of us who are younger, to listen and not set aside or roll the eyes or feel like they've heard the story before, but to listen with new ears and to look with new eyes. For those of us who are older, to also do the same, so that what we do is we remember some of the challenges and the obstacles, some of the difficulties that we passed through when we were younger and had children and careers and all the rest of it. Because ultimately, to be able to form a genuine connection of intimacy requires listening and requires honoring where the other is. And so, as I think, it's funny, I'm just remembering, I think it's Eckhart Tolle who says that if you think you're really enlightened, go home for the holidays.
Yeah, right.
Right, exactly.
So the truth of the matter is we need some patience, we need some willingness, especially to listen, and we need to do all this through our heart rather than just our head and our texting fingers and all the rest.
Right. Well, and anyone who's lost a loved one who is realizing that they wish they had that time back or those moments back or one last moment, and so to prioritize that time together now if the person is still in your life is, you know, it takes definitely some thought. And
yeah, it does, and it takes commitment. I mean, both of us have lost both sets of our parents, which is one of the reasons that we began this work of the second half of life. And, you know, I always go over times that I could have done more, right? Things I could have done in a different way for my mom, my dad, whatever. But it doesn't do any good to regret. I can share now, and I'm doing that, supporting people in the second half of life. And we can let the people around us, if we're 40 and over, you know that we're inventing what it means to contribute to society in a new way and show these generations that are coming through our example, I think, is the best way, that as we continue to grow, we reinvent ourselves, and we can be alive and passionate and full of life, you know?
Absolutely.
If you think back, especially women, my God, 50 was like death when I was in my 20s.
Right, right. Oh, definitely, definitely. Now it's just, you're halfway through. Well, thank you so much, George and Sedina Capanelli. And the name of the book is called Do Not Go Quietly. That's a funny. A Guide to Living Consciously and Aging Wisely for People Who Weren't Born Yesterday. And you can find out about all this information at our website, which is theawareshow.com, about both of our guests today and many of our guests this month. And thank you both so much for joining me.
Lisa, thank you very much.
Thank you for your great questions, Lisa.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, and until next time, I invite you to stay aware.